Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world we live in, but about how, what, and why we believe as we do. An hour for the open-minded, and you'll need to be open-minded today. Willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder awaits you there now. You can log on by going to EldonTaylor, that's EldonTaylor.com/chat. Okay, Rav, what's going on in the chat room today?
Well, the chat room is up and lively, and people are putting in their requests for what we're going to discuss today. And I think we have some of that on the list anyway.
All right.
So we're looking forward to that. It is EldonTaylor.com/chat.
All right. Every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our show featured Neil Slade and his work with tickling the amygdala. Celestial B wrote, "When I remember to use it, the tickle tool has been effective for me." Blanche wrote, "I very much enjoyed your show on the amygdala. Your show is the best because you bring us knowledge, variety, science, and reason." Well, thank you, Blanche. Your comment is very much appreciated. Jonathan wrote, "Yet another idea on my to-do list. I always like to find ways of improving my brain for the sake of developing better problem-solving skills and to find more efficient ways to gather information." Tony wrote, "It has been about a month since I started listening to your CDs from The Master Secret, and I can honestly tell you that they work. I have noticed that I am more peaceful, calm, and have been able to focus my attention on the things that I need to work on. I am still a work in progress, like they say, but I am looking forward to what lies ahead. Thanks for your work to benefit mankind." Jean wrote, "I have been listening to your products for nearly 20 years. Needless to say, they work. Most recently, I worked with your powerful immune program and increased my white blood count to a level that it had not been since the late 90s. I slept with a CD playing. That was all I did, and it worked for me." Linda wrote, "I listened to your show last week about tickling the amygdala. You stumbled a couple of times saying the word, and that amused me since I often stumble on words that I know." Shame on you catching me on that, Linda. Continuing her letter, "It's reassuring that it happens to everyone. You read a letter from someone about your CDs being the real thing. As I remember, the person stated they were afraid to buy your CDs at first because of all the frauds and phonies in the world. Well, I want you to know that he is right. I, too, hesitated to get my first InnerTalk program because I tried other CDs, and they were a waste of my time and money. But like the fellow whose letter you read last week, your InnerTalk CDs absolutely work. So thank you for having the integrity to produce something that justly will do what it is supposed to do." Well, thank you, Linda, for your letter. Now, Ravinder, you wanted to comment on last week's letter, and I think you fell asleep at the wheel or something. Do you want to pick up on this one?
Never asleep, maybe a little distracted sometime. Yeah, you had a comment last week about they had tried other programs and they hadn't worked, and then they tried InnerTalk and it did. You know, what was the difference? And that's a real common type of comment we get over the phone all the time. Actually, you know, we can get people that say, "I've tried other programs and they worked. I was happy with them. But then I tried yours and the results were so much faster. What is the difference?" So it's actually a variation on the same thing. But, you know, I always explain to people, placebo effect is pretty powerful. So when they were trying other programs, you know, they can have some positive results, and I don't put down placebo at all, but our programs have been researched by independent universities and institutions and been demonstrated effective, you know, so what they're getting with ours is
in multiple
deal.
Domains, I might add. Okay. All right, cool. All right. Now, last week I spoke at the Hay House World Summit, and many of you wrote to express your appreciation for my interview. And I'm truly honored by your comments and grateful for your support. Somebody will write me and tell me I missed on grateful, too. All right. Joanna wrote, "Thank you, and Ravinder, for your great show on Hay House Radio. Your Hay House World Summit talk was amazing. Laura wrote, "You are such a vibrant and passionate speaker. What a pleasure to listen to you and such great information." Terry wrote, "I loved it. Great stuff, Eldon. I like the way you explain things and your examples. It was great to hear you being interviewed. Interesting and helpful information by one of my favorite speakers, authors." Joan wrote, "Insightful, thought-provoking, and definitely one of my favorite segments so far. I could have listened for hours more. Definitely going to read all your books." Linda wrote, "I have listened to one every day, and although they were all good, you are definitely the best one yet." Debbie wrote, "I love that you say you need to have the awareness before you can change it. You can't change what you don't know." Laugh out loud. "That is an affirmation for me." Well, that could be an affirmation for a lot of people. Now, if you listen to my interview, then you know that I pointed out the flaw with much of what we think of as self-help. The fact is, there is some guru on every corner waiting to sell you the latest snake oil, promise you an instant fix, and so on, and all without a lick of good science to support their claims. I not only scorn this sort of approach, but I find it disgusting, because what happens is something like what is expressed in this summit letter that I received from Vicky after my presentation where I brought this very point out. She says, quote, "I am 66 years old and have spent too much money over the years on self-help. None of it has worked. My first was at age 12. I'm out of money and jobless. I think my deepest core belief is nothing works for me. I have not been punished enough." Close quote. So what happens often with these fake makeovers is a sense of immediate gratification. You know, I feel good. This is going to work for me, I think, you know. But that gratification dims over the next few days or weeks. And finally, as reality readmits itself, the thought, "I guess there's something wrong with me because it works for everyone else, but it just didn't work for me." Or as Vicky put it in her letter, "I've not been punished enough." So here is my thought. You must first find out who you are before you attend another, shall we say, New Age Halloween party and don another new mask, even if it appears to be a special smiling magical mask. For you are only masking a mask until you take the time and do the work to know yourself. All right, moving on. Let me remind all of you that if you miss the live summit, you can still obtain all of the lectures and lots of bonus material, so be sure to check it out at my website, eldontaylor.com. Now, I would be remiss if I said nothing about the Orwellian nature of our current political scene. So before we get our guest in here, a little bit of a rant. I addressed many nuances, both in use and available to the government, in my book, Mind Programming. For example, the CIA informed Congress that they had learned how to make any man kill his aged parents and cook them in a stew. Now, that alone should alarm everyone. I mean, think of the brainwashing techniques that were employed, that were tried out, that were investigated until they finally discovered the way to manage such a feat. Orwell warned us all in his classic book, 1984, about a government run amok. His doublespeak, language that deliberately disguises, distorts, or reverses the meaning of words, is exactly what we hear a lot of today. And his newspeak, a reduced language created by the state as a tool to limit free thought, may be exactly what Ben Carson describes as politically correct speech, speech designed to limit the expression of ideas. There is a Chinese proverb that states, quote, "There is many a good man to be found under a shabby hat," close quote. You might restate that proverb today and say something like this: "There is many a good argument to be found under the so-called tinfoil hat." Now, why would I say that? Simply because whenever someone steps forward and waves an alarm flag regarding government abuses of power, it is likely to produce the familiar attack labeled under one word, but loaded with laughter, jeers, ridicule, and the like by the pundits on the other side. And that one word is conspiracy. Perhaps that's changing. For we know it's not a conspiracy any longer. We know today that a ex-contractor of the CIA, Edward Snowden, who claims to be the source of the leaks about the U.S. government's monitoring and collection of phone and internet records, and reportedly was holed up in Hong Kong, is seeking asylum from, quote, any countries that still believe in free speech, close quote. And he's doing this while the feds work to extradite him and the call grows to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. Now think about it. We have just learned of the use of PRISM by the National Security Agency and the FBI to siphon personal data from main computer servers and store it, keep it. For how long? Well, as long as they want. We still don't know what happened in Benghazi, but we do know there were many lies told to the public about this one. We still don't have all of the information on the Fast and Furious operation that cost many lives, including one of our own Border Patrol agents, and this despite the fact that the Attorney General, Eric Holder, was held in contempt of Congress both civilly and criminally by a bipartisan vote. We now have issues with the DOJ and their targeting of news agencies and reporters, and still more with the IRS and their selective attempts to frustrate and even prosecute the political efforts of certain groups opposed to the current administration, to say nothing of the head of the IRS taking the Fifth Amendment before Congress regarding the matter. The government's collection of all of our phone calls and even our computer keystrokes, and all of this in the name of security. And what do we hear from our government regarding it? Well, in the words of former press secretary Mike McCurry, quote, in the short term, when things are all afire, the best we can do is generate one good picture showing the president doing his work, close quote. Washington knows that what matters to the public is often different than what matters to reporters or watchers of the government and Constitution. Tell them what they want to hear, give them some more goodies, misdirect and redirect their attention, and it will all be forgotten. Will we take their paltry gifts, free phones and the like, and let them off the hook? Will we join the hive and collectively hunker down, owning their thoughts as our own? Will the news speak and double speak of Orwell own our future? Or will we remember that it is the rugged individualism of the past that made America strong? And will we, can we, revert to some of our roots in order to be the free people our American heritage promised? Ben Franklin said, quote, those who surrender freedom for security will not have, nor do they deserve, either one, close quote. All right, if you haven't yet read Mind Programming, now is a good time to do so, at least I believe so. I welcome your thoughts on this one, so please write me at eldon@eldontaylor.com. Ravinder, do you have any thoughts you'd like to add?
Oh, I could beat you for ranting. I could really beat you for ranting. I have lots of thoughts on this one. I'll try and keep it pithy, you know. There are several, you know, aspects to it. During the Occupy Wall Street, I was on the air and I said, you know, this attitude of they, the rich, are bad was the seeds of evil, you know, and I literally meant it as being the seeds of evil. What you've had now with all of these different aspects of the government going on, you know, you have the targeting of the Tea Partiers. You know, there are those who will say, the ends justify the means. But, you know, you have a government who has the ability to track everything that we say, who now targets their opposition. And while the opposition may be the opposite to what you happen to believe right now, what happens when it's not against your own beliefs? Like, for example, a great deal of my friends are very anti-Monsanto, big time. You know, Monsanto has got its own government protections right now. What happens if those in power start looking through phone records and text messages to see anyone who supports Monsanto and tries to make their lives more difficult too?
Or vice versa. You know, the in and the out is what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, Republican or Democrat here. We're talking about Lord of the Flies, one of the classical, you know, novels that established the idea in psychology that when you have an in and an out group, you really get some mishandling. That's what the Stanford prison experiment showed. That's what Darfur was all about, you know.
Rwanda.
I mean, yeah, Rwanda. I mean, yeah, thank you. Rwanda was all about these, you know, these are the kinds of things that are really, we should be alarmed by in our society today, period, end of quotation in my book. We have to stop the rant. That's all there is to it. So,
but join us in the after chat group and I'll be happy to rant with you too.
All right.
Our heart's content.
That's all the time we're going to take for our letter and rant segment today. But I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the air, but they do impact our programming. And once again, I both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. Now to today's show, Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future with Linda Sherman. Linda has been on our show before, and she has a pretty good record by way of her error rate on prophecies. On more than one occasion, we have hosted a guest that made some prophecy, and the last time Linda was on the show, she warned us of a major earthquake that would strike California. Now, I don't think that one happened. Or at least if it did, it wasn't of the magnitude I expected. However, she did make some very accurate forecasts about Japan in 2012. And maybe she can inform us of something I missed regarding the California quake. But first, remember Ed Dames, Major Ed Dames, and his warnings of the so-called kill shot? According to Dames, we're about to become overdone toast because solar flares will destroy almost all of mankind this year. Now, maybe I'm a bit of a skeptic because even though Dames is now offering maps of safe havens, I'm not buying any. So to a skeptic, what is the probability that someone like Linda can really look into the future and foretell events to come like some modern-day Nostradamus? What can be said about Linda Sherman as a soothsayer? Is she as good as my favorite 20th-century soothsayer, George Orwell? Well, we'll get her in here and find out in a minute. Linda Sherman is an internationally renowned author, researcher, and astrologer, and serves a premier clientele that includes corporations, finance service companies, and private individuals. She is the author of Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future, and What Next? A Survival Guide to the 21st Century. She has appeared on numerous radio talk shows, including my favorite, Coast to Coast, and has had recent articles posted on the Huffington Post as well. She is also the editor and publisher of the online newsletter, Soothsayer.com. So let's get her in here. Welcome back to Provocative Enlightenment, Linda Sherman.
Well, hello, Eldon. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And well, I loved your rant, because your rant is sort of what I did in my book. We have many of the same rants.
Well, you know I loved your book. So let's just jump right in there and let's kind of take this on, okay? Ed Dame says, you know, the solar flares are going to barbecue us. What do you see happening there?
Well, I think that's exaggerated. I think that when we go to predicting natural events, it's a very difficult call. And I usually, I predicted between last year and the fall of this year, that there might be a significant earthquake in Northern California. And at those specific times I designated, there were earthquakes, but they were in Central and South America, rather severe last year, in Mexico, Guatemala. There were earthquakes, but not in that particular location.
Right.
So as an astrologer, I might see a propensity toward seismological events, but it's very difficult to pin down exactly where they're going to occur. I think that what is more important with the use of astrology predicts cycles and historic tendencies, which tend to occur with the appearance of planets in certain signs and within certain mathematical angles to one another. And what I predicted, the housing crash in 2007, the stock market crash in 2008, and then I talked about the surveillance state. What we do as astrologers is say, what is the tendency? How have things played out in previous historic eras when these planets were present before?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go searching for the facts which may either deny these claims or support these claims, which is what I came up with in my recent book, Fast Forward, and, of course, what I predicted in my previous book, What Next?
So, lined up the
position that we are in today in this country.
Right, and you, as you say, you were very accurate there. You're also very accurate on Japan, as I mentioned. And while you're on some of your prior, you know, forecasts, I tell you, you know, there's a new study that was just carried out that I read in Germany, where they reported some very bad news for the west coast of the United States due to the Fukushima. Yeah, anyhow,
that's
disaster.
Correct. Yes, yeah. The pollution from the Fukushima plant that still has not been totally fixed or remediated.
Right.
It's coming over to the to Northern California, and it is polluting the underground life there, the fish, the seaweed.
How bad's it going to be, Linda?
Pardon?
How bad will it be?
Well, I think that, again, things are not being talked about in the mainstream media.
No, they hide this info.
As how bad this is, and as long as Pluto is squared to Uranus, which is this underlying square which has created this terrible economic cycle that we're in, and terrible, as you pointed out, surveillance state of the government, it's an aspect which tends to occur when the powerful abuse their power. And this is true in the economic system as well, the corruption in Wall Street. 20, 30, 40 years ago, we were the envy of the world in terms of our economy, our economic setup. Our banks were the most reliable and the least corrupt. And now the banking system, the financial system, has become a roulette wheel of derivatives trades, which I talk about extensively in my book and document these facts.
Right.
And the giant plutocracy has bought out the government, and the two most powerful entities, which are the financial system, the banking system, and the federal government, are now almost one entity, and they're discriminating against most of the rest of us. It really is a dark night of the soul, I feel, and that's why your books, Eldon, are so important, because I think as people feel they're losing their jobs and their homes and their futures, our young people, that the whole infrastructure for the United States is being dismantled, the equal opportunity that our forefathers wanted to see for people, just an equal chance, is being dismembered. As these things are going on, people need, first of all, to be able to stabilize themselves emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, so that the books that you write, the methodology that you have, is such an important part of our recovering from all of this and creating a new life for ourselves on this planet. Because right now, it is a very dark time in human history.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, Linda. I appreciate your endorsement. I think we all have exactly, you know, the same role, and that's to wake up and become aware of what's going on, to get out of this sleep, forget this idea that you can just turn off your TV and walk away, put your head in the sand and it's going to go away. You know, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about this new Armageddon virus and a whole lot of other things that don't hit the press. All right, we're speaking with Linda Sherman about her work and book, Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future. If you're not in our chat room, you want to get there now. Do stay tuned. We'll be right back after a few words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Linda Sherman about her work and book, Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to become a fan by joining me on Facebook. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies, and from time to time, some of my own opinions, perhaps like today's rant about the world we live in. I also want to remind you to be sure and register to receive my free newsletter when you visit my site and get your free MP3. All right, before the break, Linda, you were discussing how important it is that people become aware, that they wake up. And, you know, you're kind of a Paul Revere out there sounding the alarm. That's what you're doing with your books, particularly Fast Forward, as we look at what's going on. You know, so I have to ask you some very pointed questions that are hot in the news, if you don't mind. I mean, they have to do with things that we should all be concerned with. For example, some rather alarming news it exists today about the modified bird flu virus. The Dutch scientist who created the Armageddon virus, as they call it, said it's probably one of the most dangerous viruses you can make. And the National Science Advisory Board for Biosecurity, the chairman, Paul Keim, who is an anthrax expert, said, quote, "I can't think of another pathogenic organism that is as scary as this one. I don't think anthrax is as scary at all compared to this." So now what do you sense? What do you think? I mean, why do we create such a thing? And are we safe in this world with this going on?
Well, we've never really been safe. I mean, viruses mutate and spread. If you recall, back in 1997, we had the bird flu in China.
Well, this is the Armageddon flu. They took the bird flu, and they wanted to find a way to make it the most infectious. Because one of the things with the bird flu, it wasn't highly contagious. They wanted to make it just super contagious and super, super virulent. Instead of kill 50% of the people, let's kill even more. And they succeeded.
Well, I guess you're talking about what they do in the science labs, experimenting with these viruses, trying to find out their nature. I really feel that, astrologically speaking, as Jupiter is going into the sign of Cancer at the end of this month and will be there for over a year, between I would say August of this year, all the way through July of next year, there is a tendency astrologically for the spread of disease. Now, I'm not necessarily predicting a global pandemic. I did predict that between 2008 and 2009, and we did have a pandemic of the swine flu. Yeah. They went out and vaccinated a lot of people. It really stopped it from being, but it really was a global pandemic because it spread.
That was the Tamiflu deal, wasn't it?
It was a version of what they used to call the swine flu.
Right.
All of these apparently originated in birds, and most of these originate in China because they live on chicken farms, and even the World War One flu that killed a third probably of the world's population, they think it originated on a pig farm in Pennsylvania. Now, it was originally from a bird transmitted to a pig, and then because pigs are so close to us in the evolutionary chain, it went to humans. They called it the Spanish flu erroneously because they thought that soldiers picked it up in Spain.
Right.
But these, yes, we have a certain danger associated with this, I feel, with what's coming up. But it does not necessarily mean that they won't be effective in stopping it, because many times in recent years, there have been a threat of these massive. Right now, we have an international society where people travel, in airplanes. They travel all over the world. There isn't any place that can't get to someplace else. And as a result, it's so easy to start pandemics. Just people who have caught something get on an airplane and go to another country and create a whole epidemic in that country. So it's really an issue in a sense of trying to control these things.
You would think, I mean, Linda, you would think that with the awareness we all have, I mean, there's been so many movies and dramas and science fiction novels and so on and so forth that illustrate how quickly, in fact, there are even video games that illustrate how quickly you can spread a disease in today's world. You would think that, you know, this rush game of Russian roulette, you know, trying to make a more virulent disease, that would just be something illegal. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think what their original intent, the scientists are trying to figure out how these things work and how they can make vaccines. The original intent, I don't think, is evil, but it can wind up as evil.
Well, I don't know. This is what I know about this Armageddon virus. They intentionally were looking at some kind of weaponized, but I don't know. You may be right.
No,
let's go here.
You know, something interesting that I did write about in my book that I am concerned about. We know now that global climate change is a fact, and one of the predictions I made for this year is massive, massive flooding. When I was on Coast to Coast in January,
right.
I said where we had 2 years
the Himalayan
of drought,
melt.
We were now going to have severe, severe flooding. In fact, I think the Mississippi, Missouri rivers, I even mentioned that when George Norrie interviewed me because he's from St. Louis originally. And he said,
right.
Oh, it's almost dried up. And I said, well, watch it flood because Jupiter in Cancer has been associated. So now we're already having these extreme floods in these areas. And Jupiter is just entering the sign the end of this month. I feel that this year we're going to see a lot of storms and flooding and things. This is going to characterize this period of time. But now that we have a global climate change, you talk about government conspiracies and watching out for what our government is doing.
Right.
Last October, I was attending. I have a clientele in Boston, and I go there to meet with them in person every year. One of my clients invited me to a lecture near his home, and a scientist who works for the government, who has a string of PhDs behind his name, and considered the great expert in weather and everything. He called himself a geoscientist. And I went to this lecture, and there were a lot of very brilliant people there, obviously from Harvard and MIT and very well-educated people in that audience in Lexington, Massachusetts. It was the end of October. And he got up and said that he is working for the government. They've decided to try to control global warming.
Right.
By launching 747s filled with some kind of silica, which imitates what comes out of volcanoes, like when Mount Pinatubo erupted in the 1990s and we had 2 years of global cooling.
Right.
They are going to try to control the weather by sending these 747s up and dropping this stuff into the atmosphere, which could cause a disruption in the monsoons in Africa and India, starve millions of people to death. This is something that could get out of control, not to speak of our breathing in this stuff. And this absolutely, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, this is Frankenscience. So
yeah.
I wrote about it in my book. I come home and Naomi Wolf has written an article for the New York Times that same week, published in the New York Times, that said some billionaire had gone off the coast of Canada in the northern Atlantic and was dumping iron filings into the sea in an attempt to grow some algae in the ocean to absorb the carbon, you know, in the atmosphere. So both in the private sector and in the government sector, there are weird things going on. She said this could kill off a good portion of the life under the ocean and disrupt currents. There are things that are going on when people have too much power and they go into a panic, and then they decide, well, they can control this. And I want to say, Eldon, the people in that audience that I saw, they were horrified by what this guy was saying.
I would have been, too. You, while you're on that subject, now, this sounds different than what a lot of people talk about chemtrails. And, you know, you look up into the sky and you see these swaths across the sky that, you know, and there are folks that attempt to explain that, as you know, that is the vapor from the jet. It's oxidizing. But any idiot can see that when they stand horizon to horizon and they dissipate, becoming wider and wider, that's certainly not, you know, the condensation from a jet engine. Or if it is, I guess I am an idiot, because I look at it and say it can't be. What do you know about chemtrails? If you attended this and heard about dumping ash, aren't they already dumping chemicals for that purpose?
Well, this man talked about this as their plan. I mean, this is not something that I've heard a lot of people talking about chemtrails for a long time. And as you would or I would, I say, well, I'm going to put that on my shelf and see if there's any proof. So right. I was kind of neutral about this until I heard this lecture right there in Lexington, Massachusetts, what they were planning. And I said, this guy's supposed to be an authority on all of this, and they've got these so-called geoengineers that are going to try to do something to change the global climate by dumping silica into the atmosphere. And now the chemtrail people may be right.
Yeah.
They may be right about their alerting this. They call it chemtrails. But this person, I mean, I think substantiated, in a sense, what these people are saying by admitting this is what their plans are, and they may have already done this.
You know, when we're off the air, I'm going to have to follow up with you and see if I can get some more details. I want to chase that one down. I did talk to one young lady who, you know, arguably loaded airplanes with chemicals that they, but that's a whole nother subject. Let's turn back to the scandals in Washington right now.
Yeah.
The IRS targeting folks based on political ideology, the DOJ going after reporters by covertly tapping their phone lines, you know, all these other things that you heard me talk about in the setup piece. There are many people that say these scandals are, they're just going to go away. You know, people just aren't going to pay attention to them. There are a few that say they're going to be the downfall of some. What says
Well, I want to say, Eldon, in my book, fast forward on page 13.
Right.
I did some investigating, again, with Pluto squared Uranus, the abuse of power historically has been absolutely monumental. So I'm tracking things down. The National Defense Authorization Act, which was passed last year and signed by Congress and signed by President Obama, makes it legal for the military to capture and detain citizens without due process. The Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act restricts our constitutional right to peacefully protest.
Right.
And the National Defense Resources Preparedness Act authorizes the president and cabinet officials to take over crucial parts of the U.S. economy, not just in national emergencies, but in peacetime. Now, this is stuff that both Congress and the president signed on to. And this has been with us at least a year or two. And this stuff has been going on, giving this government and the military, the CIA, the FBI, the federal government, more and more power. And there is an author by the name of James Banford, who has written extensively about this, whom I quote in my book, and he describes in Bluffdale, Utah, there is the most giant industrial operation ever in the history of humankind, designed to hack in
and
tap in to absolutely every computer, every cell phone, every anything electronic on the face of the earth. It's the biggest that has ever existed. They're still building it there.
I know.
Has been going on, and people frankly thought I was crazy because you talk about your rant. I have been ranting about these things for years, along with we don't want to leave out the corruption of Wall Street that currently has gotten nothing. They've manipulated and gamed the LIBOR, the swap market, and they're still doing derivative trades between $700 and $800 trillion to this day, even though they have been caught with criminal activity, gotten a slight fine, which is a slap on the wrist, and nobody has been arrested because the government is in bed with these guys, protects these guys, is making sure that they don't get caught and prosecuted. So we have a really, really sick economy. We have a mess here, and we have a paralyzed Congress, and we have both political parties. This is why I don't belong to either political party. I'm a registered independent now. Bought out by the giant corporations and Wall Street, and are cooperative. Do you think that the Republicans are making noise about Obama's so-called security state? And, this guy that's the whistleblower in Hong Kong right now. By the way, Putin has offered him asylum in Russia. You want to talk about a final irony.
That is an irony. You know, Linda, you and I, of course, I think we're more informed about some of these things because we pay specific attention to them. But, you know, one of the things that I like about the approach that we both try to take, and you've done this in your book, is to look at how people can turn this situation around. How, you know, you call it restore the power to the people. You address that in your book. Flesh that out to us, please.
Yes. I believe that one of the things, being an astrologer, that I know is that this cycle will change. I think we're going to have to go through a lot before this happens. I think historically people have had to go through the consequences and the pain that those consequences bring. But if you can stand up and look at what is going on eyeball to eyeball, as I'm fond of saying.
Right.
I always say the Clint Eastwood style, make my day. I'm going to stand up to you. I really feel that we can resolve many problems. As I said, the return of the power of the people. I think this. We're going to start on a grassroots level. We've got to return to the notion, instead of educating people to be employees, to educate people to be entrepreneurs, to start at a grassroots level on the community basis and turn ourselves around with community support. This whole global thing has just eviscerated
a
handful of people. We've got to go back to creating small businesses on a local level and educating ourselves and investing in our communities and the spirit of cooperation.
I completely concur with you, but I think of that as kind of a gotcha. You know, right now there's, you know, a vilification going on about business. I mean, if you're a business person, you have to be, you know, you're one of those out groups, you know. You should be taxed more. You know, you're not part of the poor working class. It's the poor working class we want to give more freebies to. And, you know, I mean, there's a certain gullibility here. For a person to become an entrepreneur, they become a business person. Marginalize the business person, if you want to control the masses, if you want to herd us like we're cattle, get everybody to agree that business is bad and that employees should have the rights.
I hear what you're saying. What I feel, again, it's semantics that
it's the terminology speak.
That we use. When business gets to be too big, too enormous, and they start making decisions like outsourcing to cheap labor abroad, manufacture in countries that have no environmental laws so that they can destroy the environment and have slave labor like they have in China, like recently in Bangladesh and things like this. We need to create a system that is better for businesses to stay here. And also, I am of a personal belief. I believe in entrepreneurship. I believe in the excitement of having great ideas and starting small businesses. But when they become giant behemoths, and they become almost like a government in and of themselves, they have so much money and influence. And today, getting elected to anything is all about money.
It
so
is.
So the big contributors control everything. I believe it in I'm an anti-monopoly person. That, you know, it's interesting. Microsoft, Bill Gates, and Steve Jobs, two of our greatest entrepreneurs, started out more or less in their garages, as small, brilliant, localized entrepreneurs. We need to encourage that. And in some levels, it is happening with technology. But when you have 49% of this country lives at or beneath the poverty line right now, we have local disbanding. A public education, public parks, public infrastructure, bridges are collapsing. And we have a concentration of wealth and power in the hands of the giant monopolists. And the American Revolution was rebelling against this, the monarchy-backed monopolies. It's one of the and small business. For instance, Ben Franklin, you know, you quoted from him.
Right.
He started the first printing business, small printing, and he franchised it. He was probably the first franchise because
you know we have federal laws that regulate, you know, monopoly, as you say. Maybe what we do need is some kind of a federal law that limits the size of a business, so you don't end up with an Apple out there. I'm not sure how that all works, but I agree with you totally about, you know, we need to support our local businesses, the small local banks, the small local savings and loans, you know, walk away from these behemoths despite all the gifts that they offer us. And that includes the politicians that want to buy us off with free phones. I have a quick one. You got about a minute here, so real quick. You know, there's like an anti-farming movement. You can't plant a garden in your backyard anymore. The government is trying to shut down, you know, alternative remedies and health, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Address that quickly.
And yet local gardening, organic gardening and farming is exactly the way we should be going. But the agribusinesses, the giant industrialization of agriculture, they're winning all the Supreme Court decisions, and they're dominating the scale and everything, and taking our right to grow our
Monsanto
own food
was terrifying.
Away, absolutely.
And Linda, I should have you here for 2 hours, 3 hours. We could go on. I want everybody to know how to reach you. So give your website real quick, like, and any other, you know, pertinent information.
My website is soothsayer, soothsayer.com. I have a newsletter that goes up the first of every month on that website, free to everyone. And my book is Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future, which you can buy on Amazon or at bookstore.
Okay, the book is Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future. Do visit her website. I'm sorry we're out of time. I want to thank today's guest and our behind-the-scenes team here at Hay House, Chad and Joe, as well as the rest of the gang at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show so easy. I hope you enjoyed our show and will join us again. Same time, next week, same place. And if you have comments on our show, do let us know. Okay, until next time, wherever you are in the world, remember, believing in yourself always matters.